Good morning, you guys, and happy Sunday once again. I'd love to welcome you guys back into the sanctuary. If you don't know me, my name is Stephen, and you are stuck with me. And I am a no-frills kind of guy, and so I apologize if you're used to the screen. I don't got a screen. I got a Bible, a piece of paper, and a pen, and that's how I roll, folks. And so if you are longing for more, we'll let Holy Spirit take care of that for you today. Hey, let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. And thank you once again for your faithful presence in this place, Lord. And Father, I just ask, Lord, and it's a big ask this morning, Lord, but I just ask, Father, that you would come into this place, Lord, and that you would speak and teach and lead and guide, Lord, that the words that I speak this morning wouldn't be my agenda or my motives, but Lord, that it would be your will this morning that is done in this place. We love you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. So my question for you this morning, and you have it in your hand right here, and you're going to do something with it in a little bit, so don't worry about it. Just hold on to it right now. Question is, what in the world are you carrying? What are you carrying? And this is a question that I have been asking myself, and not necessarily like physically like carrying, but more in an emotional, spiritual sense. So let me explain it a little bit more. Think about it like this. What are the things that are weighing heavy on you this morning? What is weighing heavy on you? What are the things that are weighing heavy on your mind? What are the things that are weighing heavy on your heart? What are the things that keep you up at night? What are the things that wake you up in the morning? And those are the things that I'm going to challenge you today, that Holy Spirit is offering you to lay those things down. And more importantly, the question would be, what are the things that are preventing you from walking in the freedom and the rest that God desires for your soul? And I know Kirk's been talking a lot about rest lately, and more specifically, the enemies of rest. And believe it or not, the things that we carry in our lives are enemies of our rest. And they can be emotional things, they can be spiritual things, but they can also be physical things. There are physical things that you and I carry. Maybe it's an illness or something like that. But I want to know, what are the things that are weighing heavy on you? And so I'm going to invite you to ponder on that while I'm preaching today. But I have a favorite worst memory to share with you. Anybody else have a favorite worst memory? The other night, I got to share this with Trent and Joni, and I love telling this story. I'm not going to tell it the way that I told to them, but my favorite worst memory that I have was when our kiddos were little. We were going to be on a trip. We were taking a big family trip. We were flying to Florida. It was awesome. It was going to be great. And then we realized what flying with little kids is like. More importantly, we learned what flying with little kids into Chicago is like. More importantly, we learned what flying into Chicago and needing to get to a connecting flight in a manner of time that is not physically possible in the human body. That's where we were at. And so Trisha and I, if you can imagine this, we land in Chicago. We've got to get to the other terminal. Who knew? Airports have multiple terminals. Psh, what in the world? I'm used to flying out of Hector. There's one. Or Watertown. There's one. But Chicago has two. What makes them so special? I don't know. And so anyway, so we're flying into Chicago, trying to reach a connecting flight. But oh, wait. The terminal you got to get to, it's either cross 8 lanes of highway, or you go on a tram, but the tram isn't going to be arriving for the next 15 minutes. That's not going to work. Oh, but we have a series of stairs that go down, 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 down under the highway, and a series of hallways that go far, 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 far underneath the highway, and then a series of stairs that'll go up, but you may or may not come out anywhere near your gate when you arrive up at the top of the surface, right? And so here we are sprinting. Colton was one. Maddie was 3, and Elliot was 5, And we thought we'd be so cool that we wouldn't check our bags, because you don't want to check your bags. You want to do carry-on. So we're carrying our luggage. We're carrying our kids. We're running with a stroller. How do you do stairs with a stroller? It doesn't work. It does not work. It does not work. And so if you can just imagine that, it was so hard. We did it. Whoo, we did it, baby. We did it. We did it. We made it. But I can be honest with you, it was hard. And it's still, to this day, one of my favorite worst memories that I have. Like, oh my goodness, the tears from us and the kids. Like, it was, my eyebrows were sweating. It was intense, right? And okay, so anyway, it was hard to meet the goal of getting to our plane because of all the things that we were trying to carry. Man, if it was just Trisha and me, man, we just strap those luggage bags on and we'd do it. But we had all these extra things that we were carrying. And it's hard to meet our spiritual goals, you guys. Or more importantly, it's hard to meet the spiritual goal that God has for your life with all the things that we are carrying. And I heard this phrase last week: life is not meant to be a balancing act. Let that settle for just a second. Your life is not meant to be a balancing act. But then think about all the things that we balance, right? All the things that we try to keep going. I call them spinning plates, right? We got these spinning plates in the air that we try to just keep them up and keep them spinning. And our lives are not meant to be a balancing act. And what I've noticed lately, and I'm going to walk you through some things that I've heard lately, spoken in this sanctuary, is that God has been beckoning us, you guys. Even this morning, he has been beckoning us to lay down the things that have been hindering us and distracting us from living and experiencing the lives that he has called us to. He has been beckoning. He has been beckoning, you guys, and I have proof. Started back in March 16th. And I don't know if you know this about Mary, but Mary has a gift of the prophetic, where she receives a word of knowledge. You heard it this morning, where all of a sudden Mary started to speak. And what that is, that's a word of knowledge. That's what it's called. It's Holy Spirit using Mary, who's a willing vessel, to speak and declare the things that God wants to speak in that movement, in that moment. Okay? And so what we heard this morning was a word from the Lord delivered through Mary. And I journal every Sunday. Every Sunday you see me, I'm over there writing notes. I'm taking down information and I type it into a big journal notebook that I have. And then I love to read through it. Back in March 16th, Mary, this word was given through her: the things that you carry must fall. Keep your eyes fixed on me. June 1st, another word through Mary. Lord speaking, I have called you to lay it. You have to decide what your it is. I have called you to lay it down, and I have called you to lift me up. August 17th, another word through Mary. You can't look to me and look down at what you're holding. We're not meant to live a balancing act life. You can't be present with the Lord and keep plates spinning the whole time above your head. August 24th, another word through Mary. Lay down what you're holding on to so you can pick up what I am giving you. And it was about that point, I remember it, that Sunday, August 24th, I went, oh, Lord, I think you're trying to tell us something. And it's at that moment that this word that I have for you today began to be birthed. But it didn't stop there. Next Sunday, August 31st, another word through Mary. You must make a choice to let go and to look to me. But it didn't stop there. September 14th, God spoke through three different individuals that morning. First, through Mary. Do you not know that you carry my presence. And then Kurt got a word. Show us what we're hanging on to. Show us what we need to yield to you. And then Marnie got a word. Help us to participate in this great exchange of trading what I'm holding on to for what you want to give me. And then God spoke through Mary again. Trust me with what you need to let go of. And then September 21st, last Sunday, another word through Mary. Lay those things down and look up to me. And if you were paying attention this morning, this is hot off the press, folks. Lay it at my feet. Pick up what I have for you. But there was more. You don't need to see what I do with it. You just need to know that I have it. Hallelujah for the word of the Lord, you guys. Hallelujah for the word of the Lord. And may we never take that for granted. Boy, I'm getting fired up. May we never take that for granted that God speaks. And he speaks to you and he will speak through you. But God still speaks. The question remains, are we willing to listen? And are we willing to respond in the obedience that he calls us to? God has been speaking, you guys. He has been speaking. Lay those things down. Today's your day. So what are you carrying? What are you carrying? What is weighing on you? What is plaguing your thoughts and your minds? I want you to think about that, but I also want you to turn in your Bibles this morning. We're going to go to Isaiah 46. Isaiah chapter 46, verses 1 and 2 is where we're going to start today. Isaiah 46, verses 1 and 2. And this is going to seem like an obscure passage, but I love obscure passages, folks. They're my jam. But I want you to see something that God is revealing through Scripture today. Isaiah chapter 46 and verses 1 and 2. Now, Isaiah was also a prophet. He was somebody who God spoke through, and then he would declare those things, and thankfully someone or him wrote them down so that they can be reflected on. And that's why I journal, folks, so that I can go back and reflect on, oh my goodness. So a lot of times I think in Scripture we're like, how did they miss it? Like God says it over and over again. Like it's right there. It's plain as day. But yet we miss it. Even though it's right there, plain as day, what he's been speaking to us. This is Isaiah chapter 46, verses 1 and 2. He writes this, Bel bows down and Nebo stoops low. Their idols are born by beasts of burden. I'm going to pause there for just a second. If you don't know Babylonian culture, okay, Babylonian culture, Bel and Nebo were their main gods, okay? That's who they worshiped. They didn't worship our God. They worshiped two deities, one called Bel, the other called Nebo. And he's saying they're born by beasts of burden, meaning think of it, they're either carried by cattle or oxen, or they actually are cattle or oxen. That's what he's saying. Their idols, right? Bel's idols and Nebo's idols are born. They're carried by beasts of burden. That's what Isaiah is using metaphor here. That beasts of burden just refers to, think, any sort of pack animal that would be carrying something. And he keeps going on. He says this, the images that are carried about are burdensome, a burden for the weary. They stoop and bow down together, unable to rescue the burden. They themselves go off into captivity. So Bel and Nebo are these Babylonian gods. They're carried. Their idols are being carried by these cattle or these oxen, these beasts of burden, and they themselves are burdensome. And as I'm reading that passage, in my mind, I have this idea that we have this tendency, folks, to worship what we carry. Elliot asked me, what are you talking about this week, Dad? And I told him that. We worship what we carry. And he's like, I don't know what that means. Hopefully it makes sense after you preach it, right? Okay? But we do. We worship what we carry. We have this tendency because what we carry, it tends to get our thoughts. It tends to get our attention. It tends to get our energy. And it tends to get our emotions. And guess what? When we give something, if I give something my thoughts, my attention, my energy, and emotion, you know what that is? It's worship. When you give something your thoughts, your attention, your energy, and your emotion, you are worshiping it. But we don't think of it like that being worship. We call it worry. I'm just worried about it. Yeah, but you're also worshiping it. Because it's stealing from God what is his inheritance, your thoughts, your attention, your energy, and your emotions belong to him. And when we give that to something else, that is worship. It's idolatry, folks. One of the enemies of rest, and I'm not sure if Kirk's going to talk about this or not, okay? But idolatry is an enemy of rest. We worship what we carry. We wouldn't call it worship, though. I'm just thinking a lot about it. But it is worship. It's exactly what worship is. And so when I'm thinking about these things that I'm carrying, as I answer that question, I got to realize that those are things that are stealing my worship from God right now. And the reality is we're not meant to carry the weight of those things. We're not meant to carry the weight of those things that are weighing on us. We're not built for that. So then that begs the question, right? If we're not supposed to carry those things, well, what should I be carrying then? Anybody have a thought? What should I be carrying? We heard it through Mary. We heard it through her. Do you not know that you carry my presence? Keep a mark in Isaiah for me, because we're coming back to it, but I want you to turn back towards 1 Chronicles. Turn back towards 1 Chronicles. We're going to ultimately land in 1 Chronicles 15. But we all have things. Don't be sitting here thinking, I'm the only one who's carrying something. No. We all have things that we're not meant to be carrying right now. And they're stealing our attention, our thoughts, our energy, and our emotions from God. I always like to think about it like this. When I'm in worship, I try to think about what am I thinking about during worship. Does that make sense? Like when we're in worship and I start thinking about football, we have a problem. If I'm in worship and I start thinking about farming, we have a problem. If I'm in worship and I start thinking about fishing, we have a problem. If I'm in worship and I start thinking about Trisha, we have a problem, right? And so a lot of times I'm searching my heart during worship. What am I truly worshiping in this moment? Hopefully my mind isn't checked out and I'm just singing songs. Hopefully my mind and my words are devoted to him. And so here we are. Hopefully you had a chance to get back towards 1 Chronicles. We're going to be in 15, but I'm going to paraphrase chapter 13 for you. And I would invite you to read chapter 13 on your own. It's a good read, by the way. But what's happening is David's taken over as king, and something's been missing in the kingdom. Ever since Saul was in authority, they had this thing called the Ark of the Covenant. Okay, it got built back in Exodus. If you reread Exodus, the Ark of the Covenant, it was this ornate wooden box that gets overlaid with gold. And inside it, they put things. They put a jar of manna. They put the commandments. And they put Aaron's staff that budded. Miracles. Things that were represented of miracles that they had experienced in their journey through the desert. But the ark is—it's kind of this thing that is representative. It's symbolic of God's presence. Think about it like that. The ark represents God's presence, and while Saul was leading the Israelites, the ark was missing. It was gone somewhere. The Philistines actually had it. Okay, and it was staying at this house of Abinadab. And anyway, David realizes if he's going to rule and if he's going to rule rightly, he needs the presence of God. If you're going to treat your spouse rightly, you're going to need the presence of God. If you're going to raise your kids rightly, you're going to need the presence of God. If you're going to do whatever you do rightly, you need the presence of God. And so David calls for the ark to be brought. He wants the Ark of the Covenant brought to Jerusalem, but they don't realize, because they're all new to this, and nobody's dealt with the ark for a long, long time. They didn't realize that there's all these special rules to be followed. They put it on a cart, which they weren't supposed to do. And the ark is going down a hill, and it starts to stumble and fall. And Uzzah, one of the guys who is in charge of bringing the ark to Jerusalem, bro thinks he's doing a good thing, thinks he's doing what he's supposed to do. The ark starts to tip, and he's like, oh gosh, I better catch it. And he touches it, and boom, he dies. On the spot, in that instance, and all of a sudden they realize, whoa, there's power to this thing. And maybe we better figure out just a little bit more about what we're actually supposed to be doing with this Ark of the Covenant. And so they stop, they leave it at this place called Obed-Edom, or the house of Obed-Edom, and it stays there for 3 months. But there's a longing in David's heart during those 3 months. He's fearful because he knows that the ark is powerful, but he's also got this longing inside of him that presence, I need that presence here. I need it if I'm going to rule rightly. And so he gets guys together. They reread the book of the law. They figure out how to get the ark where it needs to go. And that's where we're going to pick up in 1 Chronicles chapter 15. And I'm going to read verses 13 through 15 here. Okay, but I want you to realize that in this moment right here, in this moment, the tragic event of seeing Uzzah die is still fresh in the minds of these guys that are about to pick this thing up, okay? And so this is 1 Chronicles 15, verses 13 through 15, and David is speaking to the people. He says, it was because you, the Levites, did not bring it up the first time that the Lord our God broke out in anger against us. We did not inquire of him. Took him for granted. We didn't lean in when we were supposed to. Another word from the Lord came, but we didn't really respond to it. We did not inquire of him about how to do it in the prescribed way. So the priests and the Levites consecrated themselves in order to bring up the ark of the Lord, the God of Israel. And the Levites carried the ark of God with the poles on their shoulders, as Moses had commanded, in accordance with the word of the Lord. We are called to be carriers of God's presence, folks. You and I. But think about those priests. Put your mind in their mind for a second. They watched Uzzah die. And you gotta believe when they were bending down to shoulder those poles to stand up with that ark, that memory, I don't know if it was their favorite worst memory, but that memory was still real fresh in their minds. And you better believe that when they were doing that, they had all their attention on that ark. Our lives are not meant to be a balancing act. And so as those priests took those steps, you better believe they were deliberate and thoughtful with every single step. In fact, if you read about it in 2 Samuel, they get six steps in, they set it down, and David makes a sacrifice because nobody died. And then they picked it back up again. And each step was deliberate. The ark had their full attention. Now, what's great about today is we can come into God's presence. We don't have to worry about somebody dying as a result of it. But has that allowed us to become too casual with it? And I'm guilty of living my life as a balancing act and carrying God's presence, but thinking about something else. Doing the things for God without intentionally being with God. And the challenge is, if I'm a carrier of God's presence, I need to give my full attention to the ark. My life is not meant to be a balancing act. And for those priests, the ark was on their mind the whole time. They couldn't zone out, bro. They were locked in. They were locked in as they were carrying that presence. And am I locked in when I'm carrying God's presence down the hallways of Russell Public Schools, in the aisles of Teal's Market, wherever you walk, in my home? Do I realize that I am called a carrier of God's presence, and you are called to be a carrier? And what's interesting is when we carry God's presence, it puts, or it should put, his presence at the forefront of our minds, so that my thoughts, my attention, my energy, and my emotions are focused on him. And that sounds weighty, but I want you to flip back, because there's a promise waiting for you as carriers of God's presence. Go back to Isaiah 46. Because it could seem super weighty to be a carrier of God's presence. Preaching ain't all that easy sometimes, folks. Okay? And it can seem real weighty at times to do the things that God's called you to do as a carrier of his presence, but there's a promise waiting for you. Take a look. This is Isaiah 46, and it's right after where we just left off. It's verses 3 and 4. And this is God speaking through the prophet Isaiah. Listen to me, O house of Jacob, all you who remain of the house of Israel, you whom I have upheld since you were conceived, and have carried since your birth, even to your old age and gray hairs, I am he. I am he who will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you, and I will rescue you. And what's great is when we carry God's presence, his presence actually carries us, is what Isaiah is speaking over the people here. You've been carrying idols. You've been burdened down and bowed low, but not in worship of God. You've been bowed low under the stresses of the things that you are trying to balance in your life. And it's time to lift up the presence of God and let all those other things fall. And as I lift up God's presence, the beautiful thing, I hope you felt it this morning when we were singing, we cry, holy, holy, holy. I just felt this in the room this morning, you guys. as God's presence came in and just started to elevate this place, you guys. It was electrifying this morning. When we carry God's presence, his presence actually carries us. And Jesus taught about it like this. This is Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So here's the thought this morning and the opportunity that I'm going to lay before you today. You got a little slip of paper here with a question on it. What am I carrying? What are the things that have been weighing me down? What are the things that I am holding on to? What are the things that I am called to surrender? And I loved that word from Mary this morning. You don't need to know or see what I do with it. You just get to know that I have it. And I've got a little offering plate here. This guy, right here. And so I'm going to put the offering plate right here. My friend Avery, is Aspen coming with you too, Avery, this morning? My friend Avery is going to work on writing right now. But I'm just going to invite her to play a little bit this morning. And what I'm going to encourage you to do, don't worry, nobody's going to read these slips of paper. Nobody needs to know what it is that you're carrying, except Holy Spirit. But what's great is he already knows that you're carrying it. He just wants you to know that you're carrying it. And so what this morning is going to be is going to be an act of worship where you're going to write down all the things that you have been carrying, all the things that have been weighing on you. Maybe it's anxiety and stress. Maybe it's bitterness and resentment. Maybe it's unforgiveness. Maybe it's an unmet expectation. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's those pesky kids. Maybe it's debt that you've been carrying. Maybe it's an unfulfilled dream that you've been carrying. Maybe it's regret or shame or a job or a hobby or whatever. But I'm going to encourage you to write those things down. And as an act of worship this morning, I'm going to invite you just to lay them in this plate this morning. And so if you need a pen, pens have been made available. They're going to be right over here on this chair if you want to come and grab one. And this is going to be the end of the service here. But I'm going to invite you to respond in worship this morning and for us to answer and respond the way that God has been calling, because he's been beckoning us, you guys. He has been beckoning us. So go ahead and take some time to write and lay them in the plate. And let's worship. Now, you're going to be tempted this week to come and snatch that baby back up again. Resist that urge, you guys. Deeper terrains of trust, places of desperation. That's what we're leaning into, you guys. He's good, and he is faithful. Lord, I thank you for today. Thank you for this moment of surrender, this opportunity to lay down what's been burdening us, Father. And Lord, I pray this week, as we start to feel heavy, we would recognize right away that we're not carrying your presence in that moment, and that whatever it is that's trying to weigh us down, Lord, I pray that we would cast it aside and lay it down, so that we can lift you up, Jesus. We love you. Amen.